We will be talking about exile for the next 4 weeks, and I am really excited about this series because it's a very important theme of the Bible, not just like somebody's story. It is the story of the Bible. You can trace it through the entire biblical story. So first of all, what is exile? Hopefully I haven't lost the kids' attention yet. All right, what is exile? Does anyone know? Being kicked out? What'd he say? I can't hear him. That's a first. Living in a foreign land. And the wrong thing. Oh, longing. Oh, he was reading. That child. I was so proud for a second. All right. I know. So what is exile? Exile is a state of being separated from your home. So to understand what that is, we have to understand, what is home? Is it just the place that you live? Is it a house? Is it land? Is it property? Is it a country? Is it your family? I think it can be all of those things. There's times that I can be home, working from home all day in my house, but it's not until it's filled with my family that I feel like I'm home. So it can be all of those things. So in this series, we're going to be tracing the theme of exile specifically throughout the Old Testament. So we're still kind of stuck in the Old Testament like we were in the last series, because before we get to Christmas, we have to understand why Christmas is important. So we're going to be looking in the Old Testament specifically this series. And we're going to be looking at the theme of exile through the story of the family of Israel. And how through exile, we can also find our true home. So we're going to start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start. I love starting a series in Genesis because Genesis is where everything began. So at the very beginning, God made Adam and Eve and everything else, and he placed them in the Garden of Eden. And as he put them in the garden, he gave them a job to do of creating with him and cultivating the rest of creation. He blessed them with land and with life, and he told them, do something with it. Continue the good work. But there were two trees, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge, good and evil, or the DIY tree. And he said, don't eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. But they're people. So what did they do? They ate of the tree, the no-no tree. And now, all of a sudden, they have become like God. They have taken knowledge into their own hands in an attempt to do life outside of God's plan for them. And it resulted in a separation between God and them. See, his presence used to dwell with them, walk with them in the garden. But now they have chosen to divide themselves from God. They have decided that we can do things on our own. We can be gods unto ourselves. It ended up with a broken relationship. It caused division. And as a result, God exiled them from their home, from the garden. In Genesis 3:23, it says, and the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and also take from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way of the tree of life. Now, when I say cherubim, you think of precious moments. You're wrong. If you have not read a description of what cherubim is, then you can cheat and you can go on to the Bible Project and they have a video about divine, what is it? The divine, help me here. Divine beings, that's the word. And they have a video where they actually like draw out kind of what the cherubim looks like. Y'all, it's freaky stuff. Okay, so there is like this crazy looking creature with a flaming sword standing between them and what was their home. They have been removed from the place where they belonged. So we've got Adam and Eve here. Oh, this thing scares me. Okay. So we've got Adam and Eve. I wrote that too big. I'm going to have to scrunch the rest. All right. So now they have been removed, and this is our first story of exile. They've been removed from the place where they belonged. The next story comes right after, like right after. And we have the story of Adam and Eve's sons, Cain and Abel. Cain, he was a gardener, which kind of goes along with the mandate that God gave them to work the ground and to labor in it and to produce something meaningful from it through their labor. But Abel also followed the command, and he was a hunter, and he dealt with animals. And so he was working on producing life. So they were working with life and with land, the blessings that God had given to their parents. And they gave offerings to God. They laid it out before him. This is what I have produced with what you gave me. And God honored Abel's sacrifice. He was pleased with it. But Cain's was not honored in the same way. It was not seen in the same way. So I'm a carnivore. And if you put a big pile of like smoked pork in front of me, I'm going to get a lot more excited about that than if you put like some carrots and some greens. I mean, now, if we put them all together, that's great. But if I had to choose, I'm just saying. And so I don't know if that was the same sort of thing. I have a feeling it wasn't. I think that God was probably looking at their hearts and seeing what their intention was behind their offerings. But Cain was jealous. He didn't like being shown up by his younger brother. And it resulted in anger. His jealousy turned to anger, which turned into action. And he killed his brother. And it resulted in a separation between not only him and his family, his people, but also his purpose. In Genesis 4, verse 11, the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground," this is important, "when you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on earth." See, he's a wanderer now. He has no place. He has no people. He has no purpose. See, his desire was to please God through the crops that he produced by working the land. But now, the land will not yield crops to him. That is his curse. His purpose was to produce from the earth, but now he is exiled from that. Everyone getting me? Okay. So let's get colorful here. Got Adam and Eve, and then we got, good thing his name's short. Okay, so we got Adam and Eve. We've got Cain. Okay, so Adam and Eve, they were, well, I'll add that later. I haven't thought through this. See, they were exiled from place, people, and purpose. See, it's a separation from where you belong, who you belong with, and what you belong doing, which causes alienation, which causes a loss of a sense of dignity and autonomy as a human. Can you imagine what it feels like to wake up with no purpose? Remember, was that last week we talked about Ecclesiastes? It's all hevel. It's meaningless. It's like trying to grasp smoke. Nothing that Cain did through the rest of his life produced anything meaningful. It was a punishment. Exile is a punishment. It's a separation from your place. It's a separation from your purpose. I should have Shauna do this for me. Because your handwriting's pretty. It's a punishment from your place, your purpose, and Sorry, Micah. You keep me on. From your people. I didn't actually plan all the P's, but it just kind of worked out like that. So be impressed. I just like saying P into the mic because it pops. Okay. But see, exile is not always a punishment. Sometimes it's a result of personal decision, but it doesn't mean that exile itself is without purpose. See, it's easy to focus on the negatives of exile, but God can use all things for the good. So our next story, we're going to talk about Joseph. All right, Joseph is one of my favorite stories. See, the story of Joseph also deals with brotherly jealousy that turns into anger, that turns into action, that results in an exile. See, Joseph was the youngest, and he was daddy's favorite. And he had dreams and maybe not enough wisdom to know when to not share his dreams, but he would tell his brother about his dreams of them bowing down to him. And then his daddy bought him this really fancy coat, and he wore it in front of his brothers, and they thought, well, isn't he just a little rude? He's not only daddy's favorite, but he likes to rub it in our face and show us. And he thinks that we're going to bow down to him, the youngest of all the brothers. So they got together and they decided to take action. So they threw him down into a pit. And they're like, well, what are we going to do with him now? So he's down in the pit, and it just so happens that a caravan's going by of people from Egypt. So in true brotherly fashion, they're like, hey, we could sell him. You know how many times I've heard my kids tell each other that they're going to sell each other? This is a real brotherly thing. But they actually did it. And they took his fancy coat, and they shredded it up, put blood on it, made it look like he had been attacked by an animal, and told their father that he was dead. And they sold him to Egyptians. So now we've got Joseph sold into slavery into Egypt. And he works for a while as an exile, away from his land, away from his people, and probably felt like away from his purpose. But see, Joseph was actually positioned. See, God used his positioning in Egypt to show him favor. And as he worked in Egypt, he still dealt in the field of dreams. He still was having dreams, and God gifted him with the ability to interpret dreams. And his ability to interpret Pharaoh's dreams positioned him in a place that was second only in power to the Pharaoh. So now he was in charge of overseeing the entire land where he had been taken as a slave. And then his brothers, they came back because there was this famine and they needed food. And so they traveled to Egypt to try to get food because this guy, well, see, he interpreted a dream about a famine coming and he made preparations. And that's what got him into the position where he was. So now they come to him asking for food. See, God gave him favor and positioned him to be able to save his family when they were facing destruction. In Genesis 50, verse 20, right after they realized, oh, this is our brother, and they were afraid that he was going to retaliate, that he was going to kick them out or have them executed or not give them food. But he told them, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Isn't that beautiful? That's shalom in relationship. That's restoration. So he saved his family. And then they settled in the land of Goshen within Egypt. And they made that their home. The place he was in exile became the home. And then years pass. And the Israelites, who were now living in Egypt, they became very blessed by God. They were there because of Joseph, because he was positioned there out of exile. And God blessed them, and they grew in number and prominence. You see, there was a new Pharaoh that came that didn't know Joseph. He didn't know what had happened. He just knew that there is this group of people living within Egypt that is powerful, that has a lot of people. And as they grew in number, as they grew in prominence, he was intimidated by them. In Exodus 1, verse 8, it says, then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. So he's all worried about these hypotheticals. He just assumes that they would not fight with them. He just assumes that they will turn on him. So he takes out of jealousy and anger and fear, he puts it into action. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. And they built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. And all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. Now there were still in Egypt which had become their home, but they were now exiles. See, oh boy, I'm going to misspell this one. Israelites. Jews. I got that one. Okay. I always misspell it. They were preserved. See, what Pharaoh had meant to be their punishment, God still blessed them. He still multiplied their numbers. He still preserved them as a people despite the punishment. He still made them prominent within Egypt. And the harder that Pharaoh tried to punish them and to reduce their numbers, the more God blessed them. See, exile can be a punishment, but exile can also be a promise. See, it's more than one thing, and it depends on your decisions. See, exile is punishment, is making a choice that results in a separation between them and God's presence. See, Adam and Eve, their decision caused them to be separated from their place. They were motivated, the same as Cain, by jealousy, because they wanted to be like God. Cain wanted to be blessed like Abel. And that jealousy became an action that resulted in their own exile, their punishment. But if exile as a promise, see, these are people that were living as children of God, that were honoring God in their lives, that were living with the right intention, which caused others to not understand. Why are they being elevated? Why are they being blessed by God? Don't understand, which triggers that jealousy. See, when people are intimidated by the blessings of others, it causes jealousy and anger, which turns to negative action. So they are forced by people into a state of exile out of these feelings of fear and jealousy and the need and the desire for power. See, we still have a choice to make with this, because it all comes down to the same decision that Adam and Eve made. We've got we can choose the tree of life, or we can choose the DIY tree. I wrote those on the wrong sides. Okay. Just here. Here we're going to do this. We're going to do Okay, this is why I usually use slides, so I can think about things first. So we have the same choice today. Are we going to live in a state of exiles, away from God's presence, belonging to the world? Or are we going to live as exiles of the world, belonging to God's kingdom? And that's the choice that we're going to explore over the next few weeks. And I'm going to have the band come back up, if you guys want to come back up and get situated. And I want to leave you guys with this question today. Because it's an important choice. It is the choice. See, we are already living as exiles. But are we going to live as exiles as a form of punishment? Are we going to choose to live as exiles as a form of promise? In John, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the will of God lives forever." So what's the choice going to be? What are we going to decide today? Because the same choice that Adam and Eve made is still the same choice that we have in our heads today.